Imagine you're the chief information officer of a massive multinational company, right?
It's setting the scene.
Yeah, so you're having your morning coffee, just a normal day, and you find out that the standard off-the-shelf software your HR team uses, to screen resumes.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Yeah, it turns out it's been silently utilizing an AI algorithm. And
Oh.
not only that, but this algorithm has like a severe, completely undetected demographic bias.
Which is a complete nightmare scenario for a CIO.
Exactly. So who takes the fall for that? I mean, who faces the regulators and the inevitable lawsuits?
Well, as of this week, the answer is you.
Yep, you do. You are entirely liable. Welcome to the Deep Dive, everyone. Today is Friday, April 10th, 2026, and we are looking at a tectonic realignment in how businesses operate.
Right, because AI governance just violently shifted, I mean, practically overnight. It went from a theoretical nice-to-have talking point to a mandatory commercial requirement.
It really did. And to figure out how we arrived at this point so suddenly, we are pulling from a really fascinating stack of sources today.
Yeah, we've got a lot of ground to cover.
We do. We have fresh industry announcements from literally this week, a few incredibly dense compliance
That's
briefs,
very dense.
very, and some consulting roadmap insights that detail the new ISO 42001 standard. Our mission today is to extract the signal from all that noise and help you understand exactly what the mechanics of this standard are.
And why the biggest corporations on earth are suddenly, scrambling to implement it.
Right, and how it directly impacts your vendors, your career, or just the company you work for. Okay, let's unpack this.
So the foundation of this sudden urgency rests on a massive infrastructure bottleneck, right? And that bottleneck just cleared in the last few days.
Which is wild timing.
It is, because for months we've seen this ISO 42001 standard existing on paper, but the market couldn't really move on it.
Right, because you can't just like read an ISO standard, write a memo to your boss, and declare yourself certified.
Exactly. That's not how it works. You have to
Yeah.
be rigorously audited, tested and graded by an accredited independent third party.
Which brings us to the actual announcements for this week. So on April 6, Palindrome Technologies announced they officially became an accredited certification body for ISO 42001.
A huge milestone.
Huge. And then just 2 days later, right? On April 8, Idrax, which is a publicly traded global customer experience company, they have like 36,000 employees. They announced they officially earned their ISO 42001 certification.
And if you read their press release, which is in our sources, they aren't treating this like some experimental gold star.
No, not at all. They're treating it as absolute table stakes. They place it right next to SOC2.
Right. And SOC2 is essentially the global gold standard for customer data security. So putting it on that level is a massive statement.
So Palindrome's accreditation, that's really the linchpin here, isn't it?
It absolutely is, because until firms like them were fully vetted and authorized to grant the certification, the whole market was just constrained.
Like enterprise companies could build the internal governance, but they couldn't get the official stamp of approval.
Exactly. And now that accredited auditors are finally operational, that bottleneck is completely gone. Peter Thermes, he's the CEO of Palindrome. He captured this perfectly in the sources.
What did he say?
He noted that we are witnessing a paradigm shift where AI capability has been vastly outpacing governance.
Oh, wow. Yeah, creating an enormous risk gap.
Right. And his firm and others like it are now providing the trust architecture to finally close that gap.
I want to reason through this timeline, though, because something still feels a bit sudden to me.
Okay, what's sticking out to you?
Well, I keep thinking about this like driving. It feels like we've been driving cars at 100 miles an hour for years, right?
Yeah.
And then this week, someone finally invented the DMV and the driver's license.
That's a really good analogy.
But if a massive 36,000 employee company like Ibex wanted to prove their AI was safe last year, couldn't they have just hired, I don't know, a Big Four accounting firm to come in, look at their systems, and write a comprehensive audit report?
I mean, they could have, sure.
So why does this specific Palindrome accreditation and this specific ISO standard suddenly break the dam this week? Like, why the sudden flip?
Because a bespoke report from a consulting firm, no matter how good it is just an opinion.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it lacks interoperability. Think about it. If you hand a 500-page custom audit to a procurement officer at another company, they do not have the time or the expertise to translate your custom framework into their own risk metrics.
Ah, right. It's like handing them a document in a language they don't speak.
Exactly. But ISO 42001 creates a universal language. It's an internationally recognized benchmark.
So once the infrastructure to grant that specific universal credential went live this week, The excuse of, well, we can't find an accredited auditor, that just vanished.
It vanished overnight. And clearing that auditor bottleneck creates an entirely new problem for companies.
Because now that the excuse is gone, the broader market is immediately weaponizing this standard.
Yes, exactly.
Which connects directly to your reality as a listener, whether you're selling software or buying it. The money and the law are now tied to this specific framework.
Let's look at the financial pressure first, because the numbers here are wild.
Yeah, the Gartner data in our sources states that 83% of Fortune 500 procurement teams will require ISO 42001 alignment from their vendors by 2027.
83%.
It's massive. Mm-hmm. If you are selling B2B technology and you don't have this trust architecture in place, you're essentially locked out of the enterprise market.
And you know why procurement teams are adopting it so aggressively?
Because of the legal exposure.
Exactly. Their own legal exposure is skyrocketing. You've got the European Union AI Act, which has a massive enforcement deadline hitting in August 2026.
Right. Specifically for high-risk systems.
Yep. And ISO 42001 maps incredibly closely to those European compliance requirements.
So if a Fortune 500 company is using your uncertified AI tool in their European operations after August 2026, they face regulatory penalties that can scale to a percentage of their global revenue.
And they are absolutely not going to take that risk on your behalf. Plus, domestically, we're seeing the exact same legislative momentum building in California right now.
But the sources also highlight some massive incentives, right? Not just sticks, but carrots.
Yeah, the legal and financial carrots are huge.
Like the Colorado AI Act, it explicitly recognizes adherence to ISO 42001 as a legal safe harbor.
Which is a game changer.
It really is. So if your AI system hallucinates or makes a discriminatory decision and you get sued, having this certification acts as a legal shield.
Right. It proves to a judge that you actually followed the internationally recognized standard of care.
And then you have the financial incentive, which I honestly found staggering. Insurers are offering 15 to 25% premium discounts on AI liability insurance for organizations that are aligned with this standard.
25% is a massive discount.
It is, but I have to play devil's advocate for a second here.
Go for it.
Whenever a new corporate compliance framework drops, it usually just means more bureaucracy, right? Like more forms to fill out.
Sure, yeah.
So is this actually making the underlying technology safer for us as consumers? Or is it just a massive paperwork exercise to keep European regulators and insurance brokers happy?
What's fascinating here is that the insurance discounts provide the empirical answer to that exact question.
How so?
Well, actuaries and insurance underwriters, they do not discount premiums by 25% for bureaucratic theater.
That's a good point. They like keeping their money.
Exactly. They calculate real-world catastrophic risk. Mm-hmm. To offer that kind of financial incentive, they have mathematically determined that implementing the controls within ISO 42001 significantly reduces the statistical likelihood of data breaches or discriminatory lawsuits or autonomous system failures.
Wow. So the free market has placed a literal price tag on AI risk.
Yep. And they've calculated that this specific governance maturity reduces that danger by a quarter.
Okay, well, if the actuaries are putting their own capital on the line, the mechanisms inside this standard must have some serious teeth.
They do. They really do.
Let's look under the hood then.
Yeah.
We need to demystify what ISO 42001 actually does so we aren't just, you know, throwing around compliance jargon.
Okay, so the most critical distinction to make right up front is that ISO 42001 is a management system standard.
Okay.
Meaning it is not a technical specification. It does not dictate what programming language you use or how you structure your neural network or what mathematical weights govern your large language model.
Right.
It strictly governs the oversight, the risk management, and the organizational processes surrounding that technology.
Okay, so to use another analogy.
Yeah.
This isn't a manual telling you how to code the AI's brain.
Right.
It's more like a health inspector's checklist, making sure your kitchen is clean and your cooks wash their hands before they serve the AI meal.
That's a great way to look at it. You can cook whatever you want as long as you can prove your kitchen is safe and constantly monitored.
Okay, that makes sense.
And that kitchen safety protocol, to stick with your analogy, is built on a very specific framework. It contains 38 controls and 9 control objectives.
38 controls? That sounds like a lot.
It is, but they're structured logically.
Wow.
The standard utilizes a classic Plando-Check-Act structure.
Wait, break that down for me in practice. What does that Plando-Check-Act loop actually look like when a company is building an AI tool?
Okay, let's say you are deploying an AI customer service chatbot. The plan phase requires you to formally map out the risks.
Like Could this bot access sensitive customer data?
Exactly. Or could it give biased or offensive answers? Then you move to the do phase, which is implementing the actual safeguards.
Like strict data access controls or content filters.
Right. Then comes the check phase, which is continuous auditing. You don't just launch the bot and walk away, right?
I would hope not.
You have to actively test its outputs against protected demographic classes to see if it's developing a bias over time.
And then the final step, the act phase.
The act phase mandates a formal mechanism to pull the bot offline, retrain it, and patch the vulnerabilities if it fails the check phase.
So it's an endless loop.
Exactly. It's a continuous loop of designing a policy, executing it, measuring its actual performance, and fixing the gaps.
And within that loop, one of those 38 controls focuses on transparency and explainability, right?
Yes, it does.
Which seems incredibly difficult. I mean, we hear all the time that modern AI, especially deep learning, operates as a black box.
Right, where even the developers don't fully understand how the model arrived at a specific conclusion.
Yeah. So how does a company practically prove explainability to an auditor like Palindrome?
Well, explainability in this context doesn't mean you have to, like, read the mind of the neural network.
Oh, okay.
It means you must maintain a logged, mathematically rigorous paper trail of the inputs and the parameters.
So keeping the receipts.
Exactly. If your AI denies a customer a mortgage, you have to be able to show the auditor the exact training data that model was fed.
Right.
And the probabilistic weighting it applied to the applicant's financial history and the specific decision tree that led to the denial.
So if you can't reverse engineer a failure, you just fail the audit.
Precisely. You cannot deploy a high-risk system that you cannot forensically unpack.
Another control that stood out in the sources targets that exact scenario of a high-risk decision. I'm talking about the mandate for human oversight.
Yes, specifically requiring human-in-the-loop protocols.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that human-in-the-loop requirement is essentially the ultimate emergency shutoff valve, isn't it?
Absolutely. Because we are seeing AI deployed in environments with massive human consequences right now.
Like healthcare and finance.
Right. Algorithms are analyzing medical scans to diagnose patients. They're parsing complex legal contracts. They're determining creditworthiness.
High stakes stuff.
Extremely high stakes. And ISO 42001 prohibits an organization from handing absolute autonomy to a machine in those environments.
So there has to be a real person involved.
There must be an accountable, trained human who verifies the AI's output before the final action is taken. Or, at the very least, they have to possess the ability to instantly override the system.
Which is deeply reassuring as a consumer, honestly.
For sure.
But looking at this from the perspective of an enterprise operations team, I mean, building a continuous plan-do-check-act loop, logging every mathematical parameter,
yeah,
and establishing human-in-the-loop protocols across 38 distinct controls.
It sounds overwhelming.
It sounds like a logistical nightmare.
It is an immense heavy lift, no doubt. But our sources reveal a massive operational advantage for companies that are already mature in their compliance journey.
Oh, right. The cheat code.
The cheat code, exactly. Organizations that currently hold an ISO 27001 certification, which is the globally recognized standard for information security, they have a massive head start.
The Roadmap Insight said they can typically achieve ISO 42001 compliance 30 to 40% faster than a company starting from scratch.
Yep, 30 to 40% faster.
But wait, if they're entirely different standards, like one for cybersecurity and one for AI, how does a company bypass almost half the work?
Because both standards share the exact same underlying architecture.
The sources call it NXSL, right?
Yes, NXSL.
Yeah. So does that mean a company's existing cybersecurity team just absorbs the AI oversight? Or do they need to hire a whole new squad of AI auditors?
They definitely don't need a whole new squad, and that is exactly the value of NXSL. It provides an identical management scaffolding.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. If you have ISO 27001, your company already has a trained internal audit committee. You already have an established protocol for document control.
You already have a mature incident response team that knows how to handle a data breach.
Exactly. You don't have to build those bureaucratic structures again. You simply integrate the new AI-specific controls like bias testing and explainability metrics into your existing internal audit cycles.
So your incident response team doesn't just drill for hackers anymore. They start drilling for algorithmic hallucinations.
That's exactly it.
Okay, so the core scaffolding might already exist in your IT department. That makes the looming August 2026 European deadline feel, you know, slightly less panic-inducing.
Slightly, yes.
But we really need to move from the theory to the execution here. This brings us to the playbook. What should the leaders, the procurement officers, and the operations managers listening to this actually do this month to prepare?
Well, the consulting roadmap from Technigian provides a very aggressive, highly actionable 90-day sprint to readiness.
90 days. Okay, break that down for us.
They specialize in deploying these frameworks, and they break it down into three phases. Days 1 through 21 are exclusively dedicated to inventory.
Just finding the AI.
Yep. Then days 22 through 60 focus on risk assessment and gap analysis against the 38 controls.
Okay.
And finally, days 61 through 90 are for control implementation and final documentation.
Here's where it gets really interesting. That first step, days 1 through 21, just the inventory phase.
The hunt for invisible AI.
Yes. The sources call out this phenomenon of invisible AI, and it is apparently a massive shock to corporate leadership.
It is the ultimate blind spot.
Because when companies actually execute a rigorous inventory, executives routinely discover 2 to 3 times more AI systems operating within their networks than they anticipated.
Yeah, it's shadow IT on steroids. Because when you ask a CEO about their AI exposure, they immediately point to the massive custom-built machine learning models their data scientists are running.
Or the multi-million-dollar generative AI platforms they officially licensed.
Right. But the standard doesn't just care about the flagship projects.
No, it cares about everything.
Yeah.
We all know that everyday software runs on machine learning now. I'm talking standard email spam filters, marketing automation suites, customer analytics dashboards.
Yeah, they all have AI baked in now.
But the governance implications here are staggering.
Yeah.
Because under ISO 42001, a company is legally liable for auditing the underlying algorithm of an off-the-shelf software product.
Yes, they are.
So wait. If a mid-level HR manager buys a $50 a month resume screening tool with a corporate credit card, that tool is an AI system that must be inventoried, assessed for bias, and continuously monitored.
Precisely. Hmm. Let's walk through a very real scenario that literally keeps compliance officers awake at night.
Okay, scare me.
So, you inventory that third-party HR resume screener, you test it, and it passes your bias checks. You give it the green light.
Sounds good so far.
Right. But 3 months later, that vendor pushes an overnight software update to their core algorithm to make it, quote unquote, more efficient.
And they don't tell you.
Of course they don't tell you because you're just one of 1,000 subscribers. But that overnight update inadvertently introduces a demographic bias into how it ranks candidates.
Oh, no.
Suddenly, your HR department is executing biased hiring practices based on an algorithm you don't even control.
And under the law, and under ISO 42001, your company is the entity deploying that high-risk system.
Yep. You take the liability. Your vendor's governance posture is ultimately your risk.
That perfectly illustrates why the inventory phase takes 3 solid weeks. You aren't just finding the tools you built. You are hunting down every vendor API and background process touching your data.
Which explains the final critical action item in this 90-day playbook, evaluating your vendor exposure.
Right. You have to start sending AI governance questionnaires to your entire supply chain today.
Because you cannot guarantee the structural integrity of your own kitchen, to use your analogy, if the contractors supplying your ingredients aren't washing their hands.
That's gross, but very accurate.
Sending those questionnaires shifts the burden of proof. It forces your vendors to demonstrate their own adherence to these 38 controls.
And if they cannot produce a trusted architecture,
then you have to seriously evaluate if their tool is worth the existential risk it brings to your enterprise.
So what does this all mean? If we zoom out and synthesize everything we've pulled from these announcements, briefs, and roadmaps today, the overarching narrative is untenable.
The era of casual AI deployment is completely over.
It is. The infrastructure is fully operational. Auditors like Palindrome are accredited and actively grading companies this week.
The market has weaponized the standard, with 83% of Fortune 500 buyers locking uncertified vendors out of procurement.
Insurers have mathematically verified that the controls work, offering those massive discounts. And the regulatory hammer of the EU AI Act falls in August 2026.
It is a perfect storm of compliance pressure. The window for treating this as a future roadmap item has officially closed. It is now a commercial imperative.
Absolutely. And whether you are an executive preparing to evaluate a new software vendor, a developer trying to build tools that enterprises will actually buy, or simply a professional navigating an economy increasingly run by algorithms, understanding the mechanics of ISO 42001 gives you a distinct advantage.
You now understand the language of trust and governance that will define the next decade of corporate technology.
Which is incredibly empowering.
It is. This transition from unregulated experimentation to structured oversight is absolutely essential for the long-term viability of the technology.
Right.
But as we watch these 38 controls roll out across the global economy, this raises a really important question for you to mull over.
Oh, what's that?
Well, we are currently relying on a rigid, human-driven framework, right? Requiring human auditors, human-in-the-loop protocols, and human review boards to govern algorithms that are evolving at an exponential rate.
Right. It's a very analog solution to a digital problem.
Exactly. So as these AI systems become deeply embedded in everything from our infrastructure to our supply chains, what happens when the tools themselves become advanced enough to read, assess, and audit these 38 controls for us?
Oh, wow.
Will we eventually reach a point where AI is governing the AI and we need a human standard just to regulate the auditors?
It's the ultimate paradox.
Mm.
We built the containment facility to control the reaction, but what happens when the reaction starts managing the facility?
Exactly.
That is a brilliant and slightly unsettling thought to leave on. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the architecture of AI trust. We hope this extracted the exact signal you needed today.
Thank you for listening. Stay curious.